Big time count. What B movie will be the ultimate champion? You might think they're crazy, might think they're diseases. But they watch all the shot to find the best of the beast. It's Stan, Jim, Jack, and Nick who watch till it's finished. But their love for these movies can be diminished. And maybe the film's plot has no rhyme or reason. But that's part of the charm, Owen Brad's of the season. The low budget film that it is most true. They find in the flick that's most boogaloo. Kung Fu, Electric Boogaloo. Boom, boom, Electric Boogaloo. Kung Fu, Electric Boogaloo. Boom, boom, Electric Boogaloo.
Gentlemen, start your engines, because we are racing to some unknown country somewhere so that we can get our cyborg action on.
Pretty sure it's Jamaica.
Okay, well, it's unknown in this case, but I am your host, Dan. Fuck you. Stan and you. This is the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo, and nobody wants me to get through that properly. This is Season 8, simply the BS. We already know everybody's here because they're talking over top of me. So, Jim, say your piece.
I think it's St. Keith Island, isn't it? Go ahead.
Jack, Todd, you can talk now.
Oh, really? Because when it's not my turn, it's always stopped me in the past.
And finally, Nick, who actually didn't try to talk over me. So, thank you.
That introduction gave me my Woody back. Thank you. Greetings and salutations. And Nick is in the house.
Well, and now Nick has to explain Cyborg Cop from Sam Furstenberg. Please explain Cyborg Cop.
Well, David Bradley stars as Jack Ryan. Him and his brother Philip are two DEA agents, known as some sort of macho team, but unfortunately, Jack, our star, gets kicked off the DEA for some unknown reason, or not. We see it. He shoots a guy. I didn't think it was that serious. This movie doesn't really take law enforcement too seriously anyway. But it leaves Philip to, you know, take down the bad guys all by himself. So they fly to, Philip flies to a mysterious island, and it turns out to be an ambush. In this ambush, Philip gets captured, and the bad guys, played, led magnificently by John Rhys-Davies, decides it's a good idea to turn this captured DEA agent into a cyborg to sell to the highest bidder. Well, it is up to Jack Ryan to go down there and save his brother or some ridiculous fool idea like this. Along the way, he falls in love with a lady reporter and finds his brother, albeit not in the same condition he left him.
Man, you make it sound so sad. I'd like to point out, he and his brother, they take down this guy who was holding a woman hostage at the beginning. And that person they take down is the son of a newspaper publisher who gets his revenge on Jack Ryan. By the way, the fact they chose that as the name is
it's fantastic,
the first of many amazing things. Yeah, the newspaper railroads him and makes him, you know, that it was unjust in taking it out. So, of course, which he wasn't. So that he's bitter against, well, I don't know. Honestly, he's just bitter sometimes. I think that's probably the best way to put it. This movie's amazing.
It's definitely, it's one of those cases where as you're watching it, you know, you can't help but feel like, because the story, again, the story feels a little bit, not again, but the story feels like it's more, I guess, cohesive than some movies that we've done before in this series. But everything that happens just has an absolute level of cheese laid over top of it, for sure.
Well, I mean, I know for me, I watched it right back to back with Deadly Prey, and that's going to hurt any movie experience.
It's true.
Hurt.
It is true.
Like, and we just finished talking about Deadly Prey recently, and you know, everything again is a come down from that, right? Like, so I think that this movie, like I say, I think it's amazing. It deserves it's. I guess Cyborg Cop 2 is considered the most like iconic B movie, bad B movie of the franchise. But yeah, I mean, I don't think we should completely throw away some of the amazing things that happen in this film.
Oh no, there's lots of amazing things. The fact that, like, just right off the bat, when, I mean, John Rhys Davies and his magical accent, which I don't actually know what he's attempting to achieve with it. That's fantastic. But I just think, like, so you've got Philip Ryan's team going in there to try to take him out, and to try to take John Rhys Davies' Kessel character out. And so they're flying in, but Philip's already on the ground. He's good. He's got a boat. Meanwhile, the rest of the team has to fly in on helicopters and jump into the water and then get into the boat. And I'm like, was it just the fact that you had helicopters so you figured you better use them? Because otherwise it makes no sense whatsoever to actually have these guys jumping out of helicopters and into the water.
Yeah, they do that. It's like they're setting up a raid scene and then they go into town and hang out for a while.
Well, and then when they go into town, when they go into the, you know, his, get near his compound, and then the plane flies over top, and it's just like, oh, what's that? Oh, maybe it's just a kid playing with his toy airplane. And I'm like, fuck, no kid from this place can afford that airplane, you dipshit. but like, besides that fact, they're the single worst. Like, they're just tromping through. It's like there's video cameras all over the place. They can't see that, but they're just tromping through, and it's just like, oh, here they come. Okay. And then we've been found out. Oh, it's terrible that they've been, you know, because everybody's already, and all of Kessel's men are hidden, you know, relatively poorly, I might add. You know, and yet these guys can't find the hidden men that are just all around, and they're all dressed the same. They're not even, we talked about uniforms from Deadly Prey. Well, these guys aren't even wearing uniforms in this. So everybody just looks like a homeless guy throughout the entire thing. So all you've got is people shooting each other and they all look like homeless people.
I have no problem with any of that.
Well, I'm not saying that I do. I'm just saying that as for a sense making sense moment, I don't think that was, where it was landing.
The movie's called Cyborg Cop, man. Every second there isn't a cyborg, I'm disappointed.
Well, I think it's important at this point to point out that they're DEA agents, which are not cops.
Nope.
And so this movie has cyborgs, sort of has cops, but at no point in time is there technically ever a cyborg cop.
Yes.
Well, didn't... at one point, aren't they referred to as the FBI? Or no, it was the CIA. And I got confused by that.
I think that they both get fired from the DEA, and Philip gets some odd job work doing stuff for the CIA. That's what I think is happening. I would put a lot of caveats on that I'm not speaking as a fact, speaking as what I think is happening.
As good a guess as anybody has.
Well, because he refers to Jack. Is it Jack? The other
Jack,
guy.
Jack claims he is a former DEA agent.
Well, they
Philip Ryan and Jack Ryan.
Okay, so they are former DEA because they're wearing DEA jackets in the opening scene. Yes. It's unclear why they've ever why they're there for a hostage situation, other than the guy seems to be on drugs. That seems to be the connection to the Drug Enforcement Agency. I assume they just had the jackets handy in costume. they didn't have any SWAT outfits that day, but they did have these jackets that say DEA. Because it's unclear what else, what this had to do with drug enforcement.
I hadn't thought of it that way, but
yeah, you had the heroin, which was supposed to help. But
even the beginning when they're taking out the guy, what did that have to do with the DEA, like the hostage and everything? Like,
well, the thing is that the hostage I can't explain that whatsoever. They were just there, and then it's just a scene where
anytime you're trying to describe something in a movie, and your best chance to describe it is to go, well, yeah, I think that's a lot about the movie.
Yes.
I think one of the things I dig through this whole film is that the jacket's in a bunch of fights through the movie. And I know that the actor who played him, David Bradley, was also, he was the second American Ninja. He was the replacement for Dudikoff in American Ninja. But his karate is awful. Like, everything looks so, like, it's like, he wasn't even trained. It was like, okay, I'm going to show you how to do a spin kick, and then we're going to start filming.
Well, he's a black belt in four different disciplines. Black belt in four different disciplines.
And yet terrible in every single fight. Every fight looks like so tentative and careful. I wonder if the first day he accidentally hurt somebody and then it was just scared.
What I'd like to know is who the hell was the fight coordinator. Because maybe the fight coordinator was really bad at his job. And meanwhile, David Bradley's like, you know, I could do better. You know, we have to do it like this. That's exactly
something I'm looking up right now, the fight coordinator for this, because I think that would make a lot of sense. By the way, yes, you mentioned he replaced Dudikoff, and then they were in three and four. In part four, Dudikoff's character rescued his character, and for the rest of his career, he was bitter about that. Bradley, the rest of his career was bitter. He has not let that go to this day, apparently. All right, cast and crew. Let's see if they even has. I guess it would. I don't think there'll be. I guess it would be stunt.
Usually a stunt coordinator or a fight. There's sometimes a fight choreographer as well.
Yeah, that's not fair.
John Rhys Davies is awesome in this. I think he's he's really the standout for me. Is him chewing up the scenery as the scientist.
He's not even a scientist. He's really just the money man.
No, he claims to be a scientist.
Oh, he does, but he doesn't actually do anything.
His terminology was king of science. I believe he did mention that he was the king of science because nobody else was developing cyborgs.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah.
Has any actor ever been in more iconic genre defining blockbusters and still B movies at the same time as John Rhys Davies?
He was Christopher Lee. Christopher Lee probably is the only one to give him competition.
I think so. Maybe so. Yeah. Let me see. Rio Ruff, Reuters, stunt coordinator, also worked on, a lot of shitty stuff.
So, the Phillips crew is coming in. They're all getting picked off. They end up Phillip and one other guy are trying to escape. They've lost their whole team. And then they send the cyborg after him. The first cyborg. And so the cyborg has a gun kind of stapled to his chest. It looks like it's riveted on, which is kind of cool. They have a shootout. And then just before the cyborg shoots them, it pulls out to a wide shot and they're 10 feet apart. Like, they've been doing this shootout and they're undercover and he's just caught up to them. But then they're basically having just a Western style duel is what this is. No one's looked for cover. No one's tried to run. And then Philip gets hurt and presumably almost killed, and Jack is woken out of bed because of their psychic link that is never mentioned. Who was the,
yes, never mentioned again. Who was the woman in the bed with him at the beginning there?
Cindy, and then he gets the name wrong as Sandy, and
that's right.
That did not go over well.
Yeah,
I didn't really.
He just rolls over and goes back to sleep.
I wasn't really paying attention there because I was trying to look at her breasts.
I love that John Rhys Davies, King of Science. There's one point where he's standing there and the phone rings and he activates a robot, and all it is a robot arm that swings a foot and picks up the phone and hands it to him.
And hangs up. That was...
I like that when he decided to sell the cyborg and in a scene that we're going to need to break down in depth, the scene where they show how a cyborg could effectively kill a president.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Play that one out.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
So it's the sales demo for the cyborg that you're going to sell for. I think it's $50 million or something. That
25
million.
25
million. Jack, play it out.
No, I'm not even going to play. I'll let you play that out. I was just going to mention, it starts off with him taking them into his lab where he looks at them and you can see, and then he says to them, "As you can see, no expense has been spared. And my first thought was, too bad the same can't be said of the set. Because, like, I think they actually said, we need a set that looks like a really advanced scientific laboratory, but spare every expense putting it together you can. That, I think, was the exact opposite theory that they put together this thing with, because that is one cheap-ass looking set. But it's
better than the set in RoboCop where they just get a back room.
Dude, I thought so much. I'm like, I can't. I didn't know anything about this film. I go to watch it. I'm like, I'll watch a RoboCop ripoff. I mean, there's nothing to do. There's no similarity between the You think the name was just because they went, we can fool people into thinking they're watching RoboCop.
That's, yeah, my wife asked me which movies we were going to be talking about next, and I mentioned Cyborg Cop. Take a wild guess what that's about. And she said, "Well, I guess something like RoboCop." I'm like, "No, you'd think so."
By the way, what's your wife's name?
Lacey Underall.
Oh, okay. So, all right, go ahead. Break down that scene, the president killing scene, the least effective way for anything to be a cyborg to kill a president.
So the cyborg, they've got an armored car, and the cyborg is sent to go kill the quote unquote president. It's an oddly specific thing that they're selling this cyborg for.
Well,
like,
yeah, because
it's not just like kill anyone; like it's kill the president
of this country that they're in.
Did you think?
I got the feeling that
it was the American president they were going to kill.
Oh no, it was about the country that they were in. Because then afterwards, John Rhys Davies' Kessel character says, "You know, this backwater country, but we'll expect that that after you've killed the president, that we'll get lots of that you'll forget that you know what we're doing here, kind of thing, and leave us alone."
I think the pitch was specifically on the American president, and the bad guys adapted the plan for their own needs.
Jack, you got a theory?
God, no.
The first cyborg, he goes up
evil to evil cyborg.
He goes up to the this armored car. He smashes his arm through the windshield. Then he flips the car on its side. He actually is showing off some stuff. Then punches a hole through the gas, explodes the car, and then they aim a gun at him. He catches fire. That's right. He catches fire. So they got that. They show how, you know, that as long as you've got a fire extinguisher handy, he can handle flame, and then he can shoot people. So, you know, that's the big show off scene for a $25 million cyborg. I'm surprised they didn't have him kill a whole bunch of their own men, which is what usually happens.
Well, he had to kill one man.
Like, he'd kill one
man down there. And it was a great moment because he took off his glove and then punched directly through the guy's head.
Oh, that's right. He put his hand right through the guy's head.
You don't actually see that.
Yeah. This movie, there's at least three versions of this, and the one that's on Tubi is probably the most edited cut. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff, a lot of extra violence and stuff like that. They are cut off in the film, which sucks, in the version that we watched. Yeah.
I just like the fact they established the cost and the retail price of the cyborg. Cost $10 million. Retail, it was $25 million.
That's true. It's very...
So often those little details go missing in these movies.
I mean, that's pretty good markup. I mean, there's a lot of overhead though, and he only seems to be able to make one at a time.
Yeah,
he's only got the two cyborgs. Like,
and it's funny because apparently it has to be the right person, because even though there's like nine other members of Phillip's team, none of them were right at all to get captured or anything like that.
Why use cops at all?
We don't know that the other guy was a cop. The other guy may have, because it was just the cyborg assassin was how he was, called.
Doesn't matter. Why use a cop at all? You'd think your own men would be better suited.
Which one of you wants to die so I can make you a cyborg? that's a sales pitch.
John Rhys Davies is killing people left, right, and center for basic incompetence. Well, you ask the volunteers, somebody's going to step forward.
He has a second in command. At one point, a guy does something, and John Rhys Davies yells at him and then says, "Fire this man." So then the guy, John Rhys Davies starts to walk away. So the guy takes out a gun, shoots the guy. Blood splatters all across the wall. He comes back, "I just had that wall painted."
Awesome. But then there's another great scene with that same guy where he's just like, and this is why you're not in charge, but I'm in charge. All he does is talk down to him the entire movie.
Oh yeah, yeah. He's like you say, he's fantastic.
But apparently he's fantastic. Apparently he's still inspired enough loyalty to get this guy to keep going.
Yeah. I let's get to scoring.
Works for me.
All right. In our search for the ultimate B movie, we rate each film in five categories, none of which are objective quality. The first category we call schlock appeal, and we start with Stan.
Oh, there's plenty of schlock in this movie. There's plenty of ridiculous things that, like, looking at the actual cyborg, and when they manage to, like, kind of take off the clothes, and you see the actual cyborg parts and how they're made. That right there, that gives it a little bit of schlock, because it's not great by any stretch of the imagination, but it's a lot of fun. Jack Ryan is just, broody throughout, and everything, just nothing quite makes any sense as you go through it. It's just got a whole lot of elements, and none of them really go anywhere. So I appreciate that. So I'm going to go with an 8.
Yeah. The schlock appeal is there. It's not high. I mean, you do have the girlfriend character, the reporter. They do the meet cute, and then she shows her breasts and disappears for the rest of the movie. The schlock is there, but... really, they're sort of operating off of other stuff that has gone before. I don't feel a high schlock movie. I should feel coded in it after the movie. And this movie, I was a little bored, and I wasn't expecting anything out of ordinary, and I didn't get it. So I'm only going to go. I'm going to go with 6.
You basically got three movies in one going on at some point at this movie, where you got this 80s action movie, this sci-fi horror movie, and this romantic comedy, like Jewel of the Nile, Romancing the Stone style romantic comedy going on. And to the truth, that was probably the best one. I thought that Alana Shaw and David Bradley actually had pretty good chemistry, all things considered. And then they had that super, super, super long lovemaking scene,
which was so badly directed.
Oh my God. Man, for so long.
And, it was uncomfortable, wasn't it? It was uncomfortably long. You know, I mean, I love those 80s, like, love scenes where, you know, the object is just to get nudity in there, but...
But this tried to be so artsy.
This feels creepy.
Yeah, it became uncomfortable. Like, okay, we've seen her breast now. Now I feel like a let for just looking.
It wasn't even like Top Gun where they made it sexy in that regard. It was just kind of voyeuristic with a whole bunch of dissolves.
Yeah.
And they didn't seem into it at all.
No. Maybe because they made them do it for 3 days. It's good B movie, cheesy fun. I'll give it a 7.
Yeah, I think the pitch is a bit better than the execution. I think VHS rack at the Blockbuster, this one jumps out at you. So I'm going to go with a 7 as well.
Yeah, the poster that they have on Tubi, I think I remember seeing that one, and it's a little striking.
It really does lose some steam, you know, at some point. I mean, of course, that's also because I'm watching it 2 a.m. and and it's after Deadly Prey. So
yes.
All right, the next category is called More Heart Than Budget.
It's this one to me, it reminded me a lot, other than the fact that it had nudity and a little bit of swearing, it just reminded me so much of like a Stephen J. Cannell TV movie, because so many of the deaths, it's just like cars flipping over and the guys are climbing out of the cars, all that stuff. Like it just felt like really almost like 1980s action TV. And so that by itself just really didn't give me all that I was really hoping for. So, I mean, you know, having John Rhys Davies, that's great, but the guy's a whore. So, you know, like he would do all of these things and probably did. So I can't really give that as a bonus. I don't know that it's a tough one. I'm only going to go a 5 because I just feel like they didn't do as much. Like they got what they wanted out of it.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying about the TV series because I get the feeling this is the movie they made in between two other movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got through the first movie and it was a success. They're planning a third one right after. Excuse me. There isn't a lot. You know, it feels very repetitive, and nobody really cares about this particular movie. I'll go as high as a 4 because, you know, I enjoyed the movie. I didn't hate it. It just, you know, there are other cyborg cop movies that are much higher on the list for me the next time I need a cyborg cop movie.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because this is, like, the concept is high concept. And then you clearly didn't have the money in any way to do it. And so it feels like they got to the set, went, we don't have the money to do what we need to do, so half-ass it. So instead of trying to overcome the lack of budget, it feels like they just went, okay, we can't make these cyborgs look good or dangerous, so just make them look slow and don't hurt yourselves. Like,
we can't afford the extra insurance. So.
Yeah, pretty much. That's how it came across. So I think I'll go with a 4.
I think the one bit of creativity to stretching the dollar is the cyborg bodies themselves. There's one point where the main cyborg gets some of his clothes blown off or burned off in a fight, and you see his cyborgish arm, and basically what it is a sleeve that has cyborg stuff drawn onto it.
Yeah,
and he's got his leg as well.
Like WTF. Yeah.
But I think that's stretching the budget like that. I mean, basically,
you can't afford a suit that has any metal on it, so just take a piece of styrofoam and draw on it. Paint it that color.
It's the special effects equivalent of the t-shirt that has muscles. printed on the six pack printed on it. so that gets me all the way up to a 5. all right, what the fuck moments?
There was a few in here. I mean, like it's somewhat what the fucky in the things that they're doing and that kind of thing. But there's some moments that are really stood out to me. So there's a subplot where Philip has apparently, adopted an orphan boy, which is one of the worst subplots in the history of movies.
Really?
So
and
pointless.
It's completely unnecessary.
Completely unnecessary. But so he, and then, so he adopts the boy. He's so happy about it, but then he's got to go and try to hunt down Kessel. And I'm like, good parenting skills. Thanks so much. Plus he's bringing him into a bar so that he and his brother can play, shoot pool while they talk about this, it automatically,
I have no problem with that whatsoever.
Yeah. Good choice. And, but afterwards, there's this point where Jack gets this package and from Philip and he finds it's got the heroin. It's got a little micro cassette that he has to listen to make him want to go there. But in that package, and so Philip is supposed to have gone to Chicago. That's what he's told this kid. And then inside this package, there's a toy that looks like it's from, like, Jamaica or Mexico that he's supposed to give to the kid. And I'm looking at it like, well, the kid obviously must be stupid if he gets this toy. And it's like, really? They sell this shit in Chicago? But, like, it just, that just seemed really, really odd to me.
I thought the car having a floral print was a strange choice.
Yes. Yes.
It's just a very feminine vehicle. It is something Barbie would drive.
The of course the cyborg arm that was just that hung up and answered the phone, that was just batshit crazy.
I don't want if it was available.
Well, of course. Of course. But there's this point where Jack gets into a chase scene with a whole bunch of police officers. And at this moment, the music suddenly shifts to be like this country banjo type music. And I'm like, holy fuck, it's the Dukes of Hazzard.
I wrote down Dukes of Hazzard, saying the boys are in trouble now.
Yes.
I know.
As soon as we saw the river, I was like, I got excited and I thought there was going to be a big jump and we're going to pause. But that didn't happen.
Oh, and you know, that
Bill and Jennings narrating it.
Oh yeah, and there was just this moment where like people are getting out of the car, and I just expected there to be like, because it just totally felt like that. You get to the morgue, so they have to see the people who are having their faces ripped off to fake the voodoo thing, because that makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. They get to the morgue, and they want to find out if Philip is in the morgue. And the morgue worker is possibly the most racist character in one of these movies, as he's got the dreadlocks. He's not like really dark, but he's just kind of light. He speaks sometimes with a heavy Jamaican accent, but he's got a big fatty in his mouth, and he's playing the shittiest looking steel drums ever while he works at the morgue. And I'm like, wow, good job with that. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that actor's from like South Africa. He's he's actually been in a lot of stuff.
But it was like you couldn't actually find somebody who looked like they belonged in this role. But and then finally, right at the end, there's a point where he is on his motorcycle, and he is zipping through, killing bad guys. And at one point, he's taken his arms off of the steering, the handlebars, and he's like double firing guns and like all this stuff that he's able to do on his motorcycle. I'm like, I didn't think that was humanly possible. So my applause to you, Jack Ryan, for that. It's all of this stuff. I mean, it's It's crazy, but it's still not huge. I'm only going at 8.
I hate how you covered a lot of mine.
Welcome.
No,
to
I do have a couple more and embellishments on. I mean, the hand is crazy. But when Phil first faces down evil Cyborg, they shoot him immediately, and the Cyborg keeps coming. At which point, Jack yells, "He's got a vest." So they then shoot him 7 more times in the chest. It isn't until Cop Buddy number 1 dies,
and by the
and
way,
Jack,
Philip,
Jack. Philip gets a shot directly in the head. It's like, you know, I'm shooting that guy in the head. He's only 10 feet away. Or an arm or a leg. If I think that guy has a vest, they shoot him a lot before it's revealed he's a cyborg. It doesn't make any sense. And the Jamaican guy, he is a morgue worker. Why the hell does he hang out the rest of the movie? Yeah. Because no he's idea. Introduced in the morgue, but he just follows everybody around for the rest of the movie. He is in about 65% of this movie.
I love that when the police pick up Jack and they're gonna put throw him in jail. They take the morgue guy too, and I couldn't for the life of me figure out what he was in trouble for. Like all he did was get beat up and shot at.
Well, you need to arrest the guy to find out.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff that doesn't make sense in here, and it is legitimate crazy. But I can only do a 7 because none of the crazy stuff affects anything, really.
Oh, no. Again, it has good WTFs, but it's not loaded constantly with them. You know, a lot of them are covered. But the ending, let's just go back to this. Like, where do I start? Well, first off, the character named Jack Ryan. Jack Ryan, Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan, first appeared in 1984. The first movie with him was in 1990. This movie came out in 1993, and nobody said, this isn't a good idea. Okay. The ending has this character, this kid that's being adopted. His father has just died. And now David Badley and the reporter character are together. And man, that kid does not look upset at all that his dad is dead.
Maybe they haven't told him. They just yeah. He had to stay in Chicago.
He's still established earlier. If his dad didn't make it, they'd make a deal.
Yeah, so that, but you still think he would be
Did Cyborg Dad actually die? Do we know what happened to that cyborg?
We'll have to watch number 2.
That fight scene, they build up the movie so that there's a fight scene between the two cyborgs. Now the good cyborg and the bad cyborg. Is this the lamest fight scene that they built up of all time? These guys are just super slow. They're doing wrestling moves on each other. I'm talking literally like a suplex. Like the most illogical move, unrealistic move, except for in the space of a wrestling match. There's a point where he has a pipe and he's hitting him with it, and he looks like his effort is to hit him as softly with this pipe, this face pipe as possible. Because they're cyborgs, they're just moving really slow. That takes place again outside when David Bradley's character is fighting him and he's on a motorcycle, which brings us to the cyborg's death of him bending over sort of and Bradley hitting a jump, clipping the top of his head with his motorbike's back wheel and decapitating him.
they go hand to hand for a second there. And David Bradley's only move is that he kicks the cyborg in the shin 3
yes.
times.
Yeah.
To
yes.
just unbalance the cyborg for a second.
There's a point where the morgue scene is to me the most WTF of all of them, for the fact that it starts. Well, I mean, David Bradley and the Brass Man are in there, and then the cyborg comes to the door and he smashes through the door, and you see him sort of trip because the door doesn't break properly, and he kind of almost falls over, and then regains his balance, and everybody stops for a moment, like clearly waiting for the director to yell cut, and then he doesn't. Everybody just kind of goes, okay, let's keep going. And it just keeps going. And then the cyborg gets David Bradley, and he reaches out to him, and he's grabbing him, and this is where you can see his arm. And David Bradley grabs his arm, and you think they should have told him, don't squeeze too tight, because you can see him pushing down the styrofoam of this metal arm. Also, there's the fake body with the arm being attached to Phillips' fake body with his arm, the fake body's armpit hair.
Oh, God, yes. I forgot to mark that down.
Yeah, they're when they're turning Philip into a cyborg, they have to cut his arm off so they can replace it with a cyborg arm. But yeah, when he pulls it away, there's pit hair attached to the arm that they're taking off. That's the detail that
the armpit hair looks the fake armpit hair looks so much more disgusting. I want to give it a 6.5, but I can't. I'm gonna go 7.
Seven. All right. I pretty much hit all of mine, I think. I think we did miss that in this 96-minute movie. There is a 3-minute reggae dance break.
Oh yeah.
They go into a bar, and there's just a reggae band, and then he hangs out and plays reggae poker with some reggae guys and asks all the wrong questions and gets in trouble.
That was actually my favorite 3 minutes of the movie.
It's a good song. They had it in the credits too. I looked it up to see if I could find it afterwards. I couldn't find it anywhere.
When we get to the end, John Rhys-Davies has the girl. He's like holding the girl at gunpoint, a mirror of the opening scene where the guy they're hunting is holding a woman in front of him. Yes. It's a callback. It's like he's put in the same situation again. And so there's the cyborg, and then there's like four guys surrounding Jack with guns, and John Rhys-Davies doesn't ask them to do a thing. They've all got guns trained on him. He insists that the cyborg kill Jack. And all I can think is, like, there's that old saying that if the only tool you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. Apparently, if the only tool you have is a cyborg, you decide all murders must not be done by the cyborg. Well, what's the point of having them?
You've got to use these things, right?
And then twice in this movie, Jack uses, hey, what's that? And people look as a way to distract them. That it happens once, but he does it twice, which is so that with everything else everyone else said, 7 is what I'm doing as well. Memorable moments, Stan.
Oh, memorable moments. I don't know. I mean, I like John Rhys-Davies. I'll remember his sort of Irish, sort of Scottish, sort of his own accent. I'll remember that a little bit, and just him. But I don't know that, like, other than the cheesy look of the cyborg, I don't think there's much that's gonna stick with me with this. The story is kind of like, there's moments that I'm already forgetting, and I just watched it yesterday. So yeah, it's I don't think it's going to be too high on that. I'm only going to go with a 3.
Yeah, I'm going to give it 1 point for the robot arm handing him the phone.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
And I'm going to give it 1 point. Oh no, I'm going to give it 1 point. I'm done.
Well, I will remember that song, the party song, the reggae song. I really liked it. I'm still going to try and find it. I gave up because it was 2:30 in the morning when I decided I couldn't find it last night after it ended.
Did you try to Shazam it?
That was my next attempt. Mm. Yeah, that's my next attempt to see if I can find it. And you know what? As much as wacky as the music change was during the car chase scene, the Dukes of Hazzard thing, the actual stunt driving on that, I thought was awesome. You look at the e-drifts and everything like that, that those cars are doing, and doing that on a dirt road takes a great amount of skill. I thought that was great. So I really enjoyed that and will remember that. So for me, I'll give it a 4. Oh, nobody ever talked about the bar fight with the DEA boss or whatever in the Oof. Bar. Isn't that worth some WTF, by the way?
I'm gonna take a point off of myself here for the memorable moments because I totally forgot that scene. I honestly did not watch this that long ago, and the amount of review I have had to do to freshen this in my mind is pretty rough. I think the only thing that may stick with me is that. As that at one point, one of the guys says that John Rhys Davies is egomaniacal.
Egomaniacal. Oh, God. I love that. I just,
and I'm sure that is so magical. I'm sure every time I see that word written down from now on.
The DEA boss meets with David Bradley's character in a bar where they loudly argue, giving away all this top secret information. In the background, people, nobody even looks up or stops playing. As they're discussing all this tight stuff, then all of a sudden he just turns around, and starts beating everybody up, all these agents and everything like that. David Bradley just beats the hell out of them. That scene was pretty WTF. Anyways, back to regularly scheduled programming.
Only a 2 on this for me. Crazy concept, Stan.
Oh, crazy concept. Well, yeah. I mean, it's like you've got a whole era where if it was like, oh, it's cyborgs, so it's cool. I mean, because you had Jean-Claude Van Damme doing Cyborg, you had RoboCop. So, like, it was, there's all sorts of those moments in those types of movies that were coming out. So, to me, this is just, you know, pulling out, you know, just that kind of thing and hoping to hit the cyborg wave, so to speak. So it's not really exciting in that regard. And the movie doesn't go too crazy beyond that. Like, I mean, it tells its story. It's not a good story per se, but it tells it. So I'm only going to go with a 2.
I'll go as high as a 3. You could tell they were already, this is a series they're going to do. You know, they had the American Ninjas going. I'm sure they had another one going at the same time. This is a factory. And Cyborg was a trend, so they were doing Cyborg Cop this week. 3. Not terribly crazy, but fun. I liked it.
I think it's higher. This is a little bit past the point where all the cyborg movies were such a big deal. So I mean, yeah, I mean the first cyborg. I mean, $6 Million Man was in the '70s. That was Cyborg, the $6 Million Man. You know, and this is 1993. So, I really, you break it down the concept of what they're doing with the cops and turning them to cyborgs to sell them to kill presidents and the DEA. And apparently I still don't know why the reporter showed up, what her story was.
It's a good point.
The old days when reporters got sent places and just like to look for a story.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to fly you down to this country. You just hang around for a while. Find me a story.
Yeah.
Old days journalism.
I think you're underselling it a little bit. I can't go as high as I want to. I want to give it a 6, but the truth is any more than a 5 would be a mistake. So I'll stick with a 5.
All that stuff. 4. All right. Every season we have 6 secret modifiers. This film, unfortunately for it, has 2 of the negatives. It does just top over 95 minutes. It's 96 and change.
This is the cut version, by the way.
Yeah, it does get a minus one for being out of the zone, and it does get a minus one for being work for hire. Sam was getting the check off this one, which gives it a final total of 47.5 out of 100, which puts it in the bottom half of the octagon. Right between The Big Bet and Santa Claus.
Wow. Yeah, I mean it's interesting. Like I think it's a good movie, but it's not a great Boogaloo movie. Like or not a, like it's a good Boogaloo movie, but not a great Boogaloo movie.
Yes, yeah, it's a fun B movie, but it's not a classic by any means.
Yeah. Okay, well that's the end of that part. So just so that everybody knows, next episode we're going to be talking about The Weird Man from Chang'e, and I don't know a damn thing about this one. That's all Nick. So I gotta say I'm excited to watch it because it definitely, like, just based on the name, feels like it's gonna be weird, which I look forward to. So now, just before we set into our choosing next season, Jim, let's take care of some business.
All right. We keep track of the Octagon on wetalkpodcasts.com. You can keep track of every episode is listed there, every movie we've done. You can sort it by each category and by a total. Would they have a Facebook? They have a Twitter, We Talk Podcasts. You can find us on Instagram at Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. And about half the films this season are on Tubi TV, and including the one we just talked about. Please subscribe on YouTube and your favorite podcast app. Rate the podcast. Give it a review. It really helps us out.
I think you're about to say, and I think that would have been accurate, write the fuck out of it.
yeah, I don't know if
Isn't
I was
that going right?
Rate the fuck
no?
out, rate the fucking podcast. Or fucking rate it. One of those. Do any of those. Or all of them. Sign up for other accounts so that you can rate it twice. That's, you know, whatever you want to, like, you know, give a little something. I mean, we've been showing up here, we've been doing the thing, putting in hours of our time. We watch Cyborg Cop for you. For God's sakes, you can type it.
Right.
That's the difference. I'll watch Deadly Prey for me, but I'm watching Cyborg Cop for you.
And The Weird Man is available on Amazon Prime, so people can watch it that way if they have a Prime membership.
Oh, that's excellent. I'm glad of that. Okay, well, let's have some fun. Let's choose another season, boys.
All right. We're doing this the same way. Okay. So
yeah, random.
The generator. Come on, pull out the generator.
Get the generator going.
I like okay. that.
Hitting generate. The number is 3, which means Jack starts.
We need a sound effect for the gym in here.
How about the same sound effect? No. I think it should be the same sound effect that they used for dramatic purpose in Deadly Prey. I've been thinking of a way to try and you get that dun dun thing into the podcast every episode at least once. Oh, I know. Says the person who has to edit it. But it's just so awesome. All right, so I'm going first. I back and forth. Even as we started this, I hadn't 100% made up my mind of which one I was going to go with. But I'll go with this because we talk about Deadly Prey and how awesome that was. And now we have no excuse to watch Deadly Prey 2. But what if we did? My concept is something I'm calling double trouble, or actually probably better, double or nothing. I want you to pick a film series, considering that Flesh Gordon and Flesh Gordon Meets the Cosmic Cheerleaders is like our best, just two of the best things we've seen. I'd like to find other movie series that have only two parts that you can do. So you can't do something with one, obviously, and you can't do a movie series that's more than three. My concept is you have to pick two. So Deadly Prey and The Deadliest Prey would have been a duo we could have put in, for instance. So that's my concept. To do films that are doubles, to see if we can find two other films that are as good as the Flesh Gordon series.
Interesting. And a hush falls along the crowd.
I'm guessing you hadn't pressed the randomizer yet.
I have not. I was waiting. I wanted the chatter to die down.
Talk amongst time. Yourself.
All right, generate. Number is 1. That's Stan.
All right. Well. My concept is called Trials and Tubulations. I love the watching the movies on the Tubi, But one of the things that always gets me when I'm watching Tubi is that I will see a movie and I will see a movie poster and I'll think, oh man, that movie looks great because of the movie poster. So I want to choose movies based on the movie posters. So, but one movie would be like a good looking movie poster where it's just like, you know, nicely drawn and like, oh yeah, like that movie looks great because of the movie poster. And the other one, I want to be a shitty ass put together movie poster where it's just like, oh yeah, that movie looks like shit because of the movie poster. You know, where it's just like we're just choosing random stuff based on the movie posters. All on Tubi, of course.
All on Tubi. Intriguing. I do tend to do a little bit of looking when I'm choosing films.
Oh, there's no doubt. And there's movies that have these amazing. Well, you look at the poster for Chopping Mall, right? Like that poster is awesome. Easy to want to choose something like that.
All right, Gimmerate. It's.
We don't need a sound effect now. We've got Gimmerate.
All right, the number's two. It is. That's Nick's turn.
Alrighty, what I propose is we hold the first ever tournament to take place within the Octagon. Now, there are two groups of actors that are more Boogaloo than any other, rappers and wrestlers.
Mm.
We each pick a movie, one starring a rapper, one starring a wrestler, and we see who comes out on top on the Boogaloo scale. If a movie stars both a rapper and wrestler, it is ineligible for this contest.
That takes a lot out of the way, yeah. Oh,
such a good idea. God damn, I don't want Nick to win again.
All right. So my pitch is when we do this, we often do a lot of random films. We do a lot of – I know that Jack – you know, tries to find films that none of us have seen because he wants that fresh feeling. I want to play against that for a season. I want to have a season where the movie that you're bringing is something that the other three guys have not seen, but you really loved and want to share.
Isn't that what Nick does every season?
I've never seen The Weird Man.
I call this season. I'll show you mine if you show me yours.
God, that's good too.
it's interesting. I did that with Loose Screws.
I think sometimes we do. Sometimes we play a lot the other direction of bringing brand new things, which is a total shot in the dark.
No, it's absolutely true. If you know that it's going to be good and you've seen it, then yeah, there's nothing wrong with getting the chance to talk about it for sure.
All right.
These are all strong boys. These are all strong.
That's the truth.
I mean, I can find value. The poster one, I mean, I like it because it's so out there. On the other hand, I also think it's completely. I think it has more chances for duds, because you're just going on those posters. We could just end up with something that's lame. So I think that's why. Unfortunately, I like this. The idea of it because it is so random and that is what appeals to me at my core, but it's probably not best for the actual podcast necessarily. So for me, I'm going to put that as the lowest, and then it comes down to the other two, which is really good. I'll show you yours. You'll show me mine, and the wrestlers and rappers ones. Both of those are concepts that I've tossed around very similar stuff, and really so it's they're both. They both appeal to me so much. I'm going with I'll show you yours and you'll show me mine. I feel like we really need a season of eight movies that totally hit.
Well,
it's my number one.
Okay, I'll go next. Let's see now. For me, I think you know, it's pretty close. Like number two, I think I'll go with I'll show. You yours and you show me mine.
you've created an interesting word picture with that.
so that will be my number two choice. But yeah, for number one, I am gonna have to go with rappers and wrestlers because for the rappers, I have the movie that I totally want to do already. So it's a good start.
Is it Cool as Ice?
No, it is not.
So many.
But there's a lot. There's a lot. Yeah.
I think it's going to take a lot of digging to find the films, but I like the Double or Nothing season. I think I don't know how many pairs of movies are out there, but I mean that you teased the Flesh Gordon duology, which let's not call it that during the season. Never ever use that term. I think most movies that are referred to as trilogies are like they made three movies and stopped making them. They're not a trilogy. They're not. who's left? Nick Young.
I am left.
Yeah. Well, you have to pick your. You have to give all three. So because.
Oh, do I? Okay. So is someone working out the math on first and second choice?
Because I'm not keeping track of it.
Yeah, I think so.
This one feels this is the tightest of race of them all.
I'm gonna go with Stans as my second then. To pick totally random films.
Well, I think this one, my vote puts Jim in the lead because I kind of like the I'll show you mine if you show me yours. We got to come up with a better title.
We absolutely can. We absolutely can. It's too long. It's not tweetable.
Oh, come on. I'll show you yours if you show me mine. There it is.
Yeah, and also two of the four of us can't say it.
How about if you show me yours?
Yeah, I think if you show me yours, that's a workable title.
There you go. So I guess that's, I guess with two number one picks, that's the season.
That's the season. Wow.
Season. You know. Barry, but everybody's got a first place vote, I think. Or didn't it? Maybe Stan didn't. It definitely got a couple seconds.
Yeah, I got a couple seconds, but I don't think
did rappers or wrestlers get a first place vote?
I gave it a first place vote. I would have voted. Yeah. I voted for yours.
Yeah, and I was so close. I mean, it's such a toss up. I feel like
I just want to watch Cool as Ice. That's all.
I think if you ask me in 5 minutes, I want to watch Tough. Leather, I want to watch. All right. We're good though. We have next season. Now comes the fun part.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know what the hell I'm going to choose, but that's okay. It should be.
So it will take communication between us to make sure. See, the problem with this is we're going to have to come up with several because every time we throw it out there, if somebody says, "Oh, I've seen that," that gets pulled off our list.
That's right.
So that will be the difficulty. You're going to probably need a list. You're going to need like 10 movies.
I'm guessing my first two are going to be totally fine. Actually, my first three, I can't imagine that any of you have seen them. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to take some time to think about that. So I'm glad we got a little bit of time before episode 8. Okay. Right. Well, next episode will be episode 5. And that is, as we've already talked about, The Weird Man. And I'm hoping it's going to be awesome because I love awesome movies. That's my goal for this.
That's the thing I hate the most.
Okay. Well, I hope that nobody else has anything to say because again, we've got a nice long episode here for people to listen to. So for Jim, for Jack, and for Nick, I am your host, 8th Dan Stanadu, and thanks for listening to the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo.
A DEA agent leads an elite team into battle against an international drug cartel.
It's going to be like taking candy from small children.
But what Agent Philip Ryan finds there is more dangerous.
The setup!
More devious. And more deadly than any drug.
Allow me to present K3 prototype cyborg assassin.
Left for dead, Philip Ryan is about to live again, half man, half machine.
Kill it.
His mind now controlled by a madman.
You see, it works just perfectly.
Now Renegade Agent Jack Ryan is the only man who can save his brother.
You stay out of this!
But to rescue Philip, Jack must destroy an unstoppable soldier. Part RoboCop. Part Terminator. And all Demolition Man. Cyborg Cop.